Naughty. Thank you, whoever that was. I hope everybody's okay this morning. Welcome. Welcome to visitors. I feel like I can see a few faces, I don't know, so extra welcomes to them. Let's just pray. I've got a little Bible verse before we start singing as well. Father God, we come this morning just as we are, knowing that even if we tried to hide anything, there would be no point. But Lord, we come yearning for you, yearning to be closer to you, to be more like you, to be your people in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we come this morning to pour out our lives as living sacrifices to you. Lord, give us the steadfastness, the surety, the confidence to truly do that. Give you our lives so that you can use them in your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see so many here this morning, and a very warm welcome to anyone that's joined us for the first time. I hope you enjoy your time here with us. And of course, a very warm welcome to those of you who are watching on YouTube. It's good to be together. Before I do the notices, I have a little reflection to share with you. It's not from me, it's from the YouVersion Daily Refresh, and that the day was the Sunday the 10th of March, which was last week. And I don't know why I'm sharing it now, but I think probably it might mean something to somebody. It's meant for everybody, of course, and it's nothing that you've probably not heard before. But I just think it might be an encouragement to someone if maybe they're feeling a bit tired, weary, under the weather, surplus to requirements, use. You know how we do feel sometimes. We feel as if we're past our sell-by date sometimes. So I'm just going to share it with you anyway, and then we'll leave it with the Lord. So it's called Part of the Plan. In the beginning, God created everything. Galaxies, volcanoes, fireflies and diamonds, oak trees and great white sharks. Finally, saving the best for last. He created humans in his image to fill the earth, reign over its creatures, and cultivate a world that magnifies him. But even before the beginning, God was already there. He spoke time and space into existence while existing outside of time and space. And long before you and me were born, he already knew all about us, our strengths and weaknesses, successes and failures. He knew all about us and chose to make us because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And in Ephesians 2, we read that, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You, me, are God's handiwork. Sometimes translated as masterpiece, workmanship, a work of art. It's quite something, that, isn't it? We are also God's masterpiece because of the unique spirit, personality and gifts that have been uniquely wired into us. We call it the DNA now, wouldn't we? And his plan includes us, you and me. Yes, us. He's prepared good things for us to step into, meaningful relationships and impactful work. He's continually putting people and opportunities in our path as well as working alongside us, giving us the desire and power to do what pleases him. He has empowered us to partner with him as we experience the greatest story on earth. Quite exciting. So, on with the notices. For this week, prospects meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Down here at... It sounds like they have a good time. You might want to pop in. You do get a cup of tea and a bit of cake as well, so that's always good. Monday the 18th tomorrow, prayer and meditation, that is via Zoom. And on Tuesday, the art playgroup we're meeting in the morning and the afternoon, 10 till 11:30 and 1 until 2:30. And on Thursday, we have the lunch club as usual down here at church at 12. Next Sunday, I seem to have been announcing this forever, but it's next Sunday, the AGM for church members after the service at 12 o'clock. Documents should already have come out by now with what's happening, so please do get in touch if you've not received them. Then moving ahead, the same week, Tuesday the 28th of March, it's Maundy Thursday, we're now then into Holy Week. We're having a service of reflection down here at church at 6 p.m. We'll be having a simple meal and communion. We had one last year and it was so lovely. So please do come if you can make it. We would like to know numbers, please, for food, for catering purposes. There's a sheet up at the back. Jan's managed to get it sorted for this week. Bless you. And we are asking for a very small donation towards the cost of the food. Any money that we receive over the cost of the food, we will be donating to charity. Friday the 29th of March, which is Good Friday, where there will be a service of reflection down here at church at 10:30. And then following that, we will be walking into Swallownest with other members of the church community into Swallownest for a walk of witness, a short service, and then refreshments back here afterwards. Sunday the 31st of March for the open air service down at Ulley at 8 o'clock, breakfast at church, and then the Easter celebration at 10:30. Please be aware that the clocks go forward. Don't want anybody missing out on anything. And it will be David's final service. Aww. Still not talking to him. And then following that, Sunday the 7th of April, we're having a farewell service to say goodbye properly to David and Julie, and that's followed by lunch. The church are providing the sandwiches, but we would appreciate donations of any cake, crisps, that kind of thing. If you could just let me know, that'd be great, thank you. And on Sunday the 14th of April, we are having the prayer service followed by the church members meeting at 12 o'clock. Quite a lot of information, but the next few weeks are very busy. I don't want anybody to miss out on anything. But website, Facebook page are always updated regularly, so please do look at those or just give us a ring if you're not sure of what's happening and when. I went to a dance show last night that Jan was in, and it was really good. And we mentioned it last week, and thank you very much to those who've sponsored her. There's still time. They're raising funds for Rotherham Hospice, and from last night, there's some more to come in yet, but they've raised £3,500. So that's amazing. So a very good effort. So if you could settle up with Jan as soon as, and then we'll get a final total in a couple of weeks.
Good morning. Let's just pray and focus back on God. Father God, we thank you that you do look after us all the years of our life, from being little to being a lot older. We thank you that you love us in the good times and in the bad times. And we thank you that we can celebrate birthdays. Maybe when we're younger, we celebrate them more than when we get older. But we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us now to listen to your word and to think about what you're saying to each and every one of us through it. That you'll just speak to us, that we will be able to be encouraged and supported in our day-to-day lives. Just help us, Lord, we pray. and bless us in this time. Amen. As we continue our journey through Lent, we're going to look today at waiting. Now, obviously for the birthday boy, he's probably been waiting for quite a while for this big event, being 13. Let's hope it lives up to everything he imagines. Anyway, we're going to look at waiting, anxiety, and trust. Last week, if you recall, we heard Rob remind us of the father's love for his son and the parable of the prodigal son and God's great unconditional love for us, his faithfulness to us. Today's reading is from Isaiah 40, and in this book we can see God's faithfulness to his promises, and that despite disciplining his people for their unfaithfulness, God's promises them a glorious future. The Lord graciously makes these promises, even though he is not obliged to do so. I'm just going to ask David to come and read Isaiah 40 to us.
Thank you. But Isaiah chapter 40, page 599. We're going to read all of the chapter. It's good to hear God's word in full. Comfort for his people. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. Who has measured the waters in the whole hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with his span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and he who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith also lays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. All right, up there. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely that their stem takes the root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Who do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen.
Thank you, David. Right, it's an amazing passage, the whole of that chapter, but we are going to focus in on one verse in particular. I'm going to think about verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. We're going to explore the wisdom of this verse and consider what the wilderness is, the benefits of trusting God wholeheartedly whilst waiting and drawing inspiration, the end from the life of John the Baptist. Isaiah 40, this whole chapter, is a chapter of comfort. It's of hope. It's of restoration. It was written during a time of great despair for the Israelites who were in exile in Babylon. The prophet Isaiah delivers a message of encouragement, proclaiming the imminent deliverance of God's people. This verse is part of a larger passage in the book of Isaiah that brings comfort and hope to God's people. So yes, we're going to look at understanding the wilderness and God's faithfulness, and then John the Baptist. Right, so what do you think of when I say the word waiting? We've already talked about waiting for a birthday. The Oxford Dictionary describes waiting as to stay where you are or delay doing something until somebody or something comes or something happens. I don't know what your initial thoughts were when I said, what do you think about the word waiting or about waiting? I wonder if waiting for you conjures up positive thoughts or negative thoughts. For each of us, I'm sure we instinctively come up with different ideas. Waiting for the bus, waiting for dinner, waiting for your favourite TV programme to come on, waiting for the general election or for wars to end. Waiting happens all the time in our day-to-day lives, and we have a vast range of emotions that accompany waiting, depending on what we're waiting for. If we're waiting for a holiday, there's excitement, there's longing, there's happy thoughts, there's wanting it to get as quickly as possible. When there's illness, there may be waiting for doctor's appointments or consultants or operations or tests, and then our feelings are accompanied with apprehension, with worry, with fear. For each of these situations, through time of waiting, there's preparations that we make, things that we do. But how good are we at trusting God in these times and waiting patiently? How many of you have heard the phrase, patience is a virtue? I was quite surprised. It stems back to 1360, to be fair, but there we go. Patience always seems to evaporate in some of these moments that we're waiting. But the Bible paints a different picture. The longer you wait for something, the more you have to trust that it will arrive. And you have to trust that the waiting process is happening for a reason. And that God can teach you through waiting things that otherwise you might not think of. Living in a state of anxious waiting has the potential to remind us of God's centrality in our lives, the importance of God to us, to each one of us. It often takes the prospect of losing something to remind us, perhaps painfully, that God is indeed bigger than the thing or the scenario that we're waiting on or hoping for. So waiting is not a sign of defeat, nor is it a time of inactivity. Instead, waiting on the Lord can be a profound time of growth, for preparation, and ultimately deeper trust in the one who guides and sustains us. Waiting is an active thing. Well, it's not there anymore. Waiting is something that is active. I know definitely through my journey with God, my call into ministry, that this is true. Waiting is not a waste of time. Feels like it sometimes, but waiting is not a waste of time. And even in church on a Sunday, we can spend time, or we do spend time, waiting on God. So if we turn to the first thing I want us to look at today, that's understanding the wilderness. The wilderness is doubly significant in our passage in Isaiah, both as an example of the barriers that must all yield to the royal progression, and there is a reminder here of the first Exodus. The imagery used here is drawn from the practice of Eastern kings who send heralds ahead to prepare roads for their journeys through uninhibited areas. It was a concept people of that time related to well. Have you ever felt that you were in the wilderness, waiting for God, feeling far away from God? Let's consider the imagery Isaiah uses. Imagine a vast, desolate desert. It symbolises a time of uncertainty, of struggle, of barrenness. In the Bible, the wilderness often represents seasons of spiritual dryness, where we can feel distant from God and uncertain about our paths. In Lent, we think about Jesus being led into the wilderness by the Spirit for his 40-day fast. And this wilderness was a place of testing, of reflection, and divine encounter, a time of waiting. Jesus intentionally entered this desert space for a profound conversation with God. And it was not a random wandering. It was a purposeful journey. Do I need to change our view on waiting? When we are in a time of waiting for a change in our personal lives, a period of yearning for fulfilled dreams, or even things in society to change, do we need to seek God and to trust him more? The wilderness can manifest in many forms, but God is always with us. Wilderness is a word we don't really associate so well with in this country, but I think you get the idea. In this passage, Isaiah offers hope, even in this desolation. A voice cries out, calling to prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist, who later appears as a preacher in the same wilderness area of Judea, later fulfills this prophecy by proclaiming repentance and preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. And we'll look at that shortly. But first, I'd like us to consider God's faithfulness in a time of waiting. Can we personally relate to God's faithfulness to us? I know I can. Time and time again, God provides for our physical and our emotional needs. And God's faithfulness can also be seen time and time again throughout the Bible. The way he continues to provide for, protect, and show compassion for the Israelites through every circumstance, and even when they mess up, reminds us that although waiting can be challenging, God's faithfulness will sustain us. Just before our verse, in verse 1, you might notice, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says the Lord. And in verse 31, which is a verse which is very close to my heart, we are reminded of the power of hoping in God. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Other translations, I think you've got in front of you, will wait on the Lord. Some say, trust in the Lord. They're all such a good promise. I know I've found immense strength in times, wilderness times, and times of waiting through meditating on those verses, that we can hope, we can wait, we can trust in the Lord, and he will renew us our strength. He will give us the strength to face whatever we're facing. Another verse, it's in the next chapter, but I think it still shows us God's faithfulness. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is faithful. Remember, waiting on God is an active process of trust and preparation. As we wait, we find strength renewed, our faith deepened, and our hearts preparing for his coming. In the Bible, there's many, many examples of individuals who've waited for God's promises to be fulfilled, and their stories are an inspiration to us to trust in God's timing and to remain steadfast in faith. Just to name a few, because we don't want to be here all day. There's Abraham, known as the father of faith. Abraham waited for years to see God's promise of becoming the father of many nations fulfilled. Despite his old age and trying to sort things his own way, God blessed him with a son named Isaac, which you can find in Genesis 17. And there's Esther. Esther courageously waited for the right moment to approach the king and to save her people from destruction. She was patient. She waited. She trusted in God. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. Waited for the appointed time to fulfill his mission. His patience led to our salvation. So all these biblical characters teach us that waiting on God involves trust, perseverance, and unwavering faith. Just as they receive blessings, we too can find strength and hope in patiently waiting for God's promises to unfold. And then John the Baptist. And you will notice very quickly that verse that we had that we are looking at. In Isaiah 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Matthew 3, verse 1 to 3. John the Baptist is preaching to the people in the desert of Judea. And just before he baptizes Jesus, he says, near enough, the same words. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight your paths for him. This is 700, 800 years on. The people of God had waited hundreds of years for the coming of a saviour. John the Baptist was sent to be the forerunner of the saviour. God planned for John to prepare the people for Jesus' arrival and call them back to repentance. John the Baptist is the embodiment of Isaiah's prophecy. He was a wild prophetic figure who lived in the wilderness, preaching repentance and baptism. John had waited his whole life for Jesus, his days spent in eager anticipation of the coming of a saviour who would save his people. And on this day, when Jesus did arrive, he cried out in excitement. Incidentally, his birth was also an answer to prayer for his parents, Elizabeth and Zachariah. This couple had struggled with childlessness. They had prayed, sought God, and waited for years. And their unwavering faith led to the birth of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. In Luke 1, verse 13, which is more Christmas story maybe, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son." We haven't got time to look much into Zachariah, but he was unable to speak until John was born, and he confirmed that yes, the baby that was born was to be called John. And then once he could speak again, he was praising God and prophesying over baby John, saying, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." John's ministry was a true season of waiting. He lived in an era where God seemed silent, where Israel languished under Roman occupation and Roman laws. And yet John did not despair. He proclaimed the truth with unwavering conviction, calling people back to God and preparing their hearts for something extraordinary. John prepared hearts for Jesus' arrival by calling them back. His message was urgent, but it was still compassionate, emphasising God's grace and forgiveness. We have all said and done things that we shouldn't and need to ask God to forgive us. In a bit, we're going to come around the Lord's table where we think about this a lot more. But we all sometimes need to focus on Jesus and Jesus' death on the cross for all of our sins. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. God loves us so much that we just need to come to him and ask for his forgiveness and have a desire to follow him and have a relationship with him, to trust him. Consider the immense trust in God that John required. He didn't know exactly when or how the Messiah would arrive, yet he dedicated his life to proclaiming a coming Saviour, a readying the people. John teaches us that waiting is not passive, It's active preparation filled with faith and expectation. Maybe we can start to view our waiting times as purposeful periods of spiritual growth and align ourselves with God's will for our life, aligning with God's timing, just as John prepared the way at the right time, God's perfect timing. We need to trust that God's plans are always executed at the right moment and to wait patiently. So our wilderness seasons in our lives may take different forms, but the invitation remains the same, to prepare a way for the Lord in our hearts and in the world around us. Waiting for God's timing requires patience and perseverance, but more than anything, it demands an unwavering trust in God's plans for our lives. Waiting can be immeasurably frustrating. However, it's precisely in those seasons of waiting that God works in ways that we can't see. John's example teaches us that during times of waiting, we should also look inward. I just want us to think as we reflect on a few questions. We're coming to the Lord's table in a bit. But repentance, are there areas of our lives that we need to surrender to God? And do we truly believe that God is at work through the waiting, through our times, wilderness times, even when we can't see it? And how can we prepare ourselves for whatever God has next for us? Let's just take a few minutes and just ponder on those questions. We thank you, Father, that you are there with us whatever we go through. We thank you that you are always there loving us. Please help us to remember this sometimes when things are tough. Help us to turn to you in our times of waiting and wilderness times first, and to not try and fix things by ourselves. Be our strength, we ask. We thank you that you are faithful, that you love us with an unconditional love that never ends. We thank you that we can always draw near to you in every situation. Thank you, Lord.
Interesting that as we gather around the table, we're reminded by Jesus himself, who went into a time of waiting. Who with the people that went with him were also in a time of waiting? That brought about anxiety, no doubt. But it also brought about trust in the one who was saying, in the one who was doing, and the one who was fulfilling. It came to pass that this, surely, as the centurion said, is the Son of God. But in that time of waiting, as we're going through this journey in Lent, we're waiting. We're waiting for the greatest day in history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate that in trust within here that we know that he is risen and he lives and reigns forevermore. But that we also wait in trust that he will come again and drink afresh from the vine of the cup anew with us, when the kingdom of God is fulfilled. And yet still we can read that that day that Jesus was buried, and the next morning, while it was still dark, as Mary rose and went to the tomb, and there that saw the stone had been rolled away. There was a time of waiting. Then came a time of anxiety. Where have they taken my Lord? As she stood outside of the tomb and wept. And then trust came. Because after, depending on which account you read, be it Jesus himself, or be it a gardener, or be it angels that visited, the fact of the matter is the trust came because the words that were spoken, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said, go and tell the disciples. And so in that time of waiting, in that time of anxiety, comes that time of trust, where she knew instinctively and went and told. But still, we find Peter, and particularly John, maybe didn't trust, and in their anxiety ran to look for themselves. But then all that came around as they waited in that upper room that night, with the door locked through fear. Jesus came and stood amongst them. Do not be afraid, he said. See, it is I. Come and touch my side. Come and see the holes in my hand, he says. The waiting is over. The anxiety is washed away. The trust once again comes to fruition because Jesus has come and done all that he said he would do. And so as a reminder, as we look a bit further back in that upper room where Jesus sat with his disciples, and where after supper, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said that this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying that this is the new covenant, which is my blood, which is poured out for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord until he comes again. And so we find ourselves in a time of waiting. But I'm sure that as we search deep within our hearts, that it's not necessarily a time of waiting and anxiety, but in a time of waiting in trust, of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, as the one who will do and has done and will come back to do exactly what he set out to do and what he has said. And for that, we give thanks. For that, we find ourselves again gathered around his table, invited by him to come and to share of the body and of the wine, sorry, of the bread and of the wine, the body and the blood. Symbols, elements, if you like, in remembrance of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he will come to do again. Let's give thanks. Father God, we thank you that we can be found, ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven through the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who was led out to death like a lamb to the slaughter, was crucified, was buried, but by the power of your hand through the resurrection, was raised again 3 days later. Lord, we thank you that we can be counted as part of that number as we can gather around your table and remember through these elements of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forevermore, who sits at your right hand until the kingdom will be fulfilled, until the waiting will be over, where we will sit face to face and be able to drink anew the cup of life with Jesus Christ our Saviour. Lord, we thank you as we come with thankful hearts, as we come as we are around your table. As I said, where we're ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Let us maybe just take a moment to just seek God in his forgiveness for things that we may have said or things that we may have done that have not glorified him, be it in this past week, in these past few days. Lord, would you graciously hear our prayers now as we lift them to you? Again, Father God, as we are reminded of your word and of your deed, that as we come to you with right hearts, as we come in all sincerity and honesty, humbly seeking you, seeking your forgiveness, as we truly turn away from those things that prevent us in our walk with you, we know that we are forgiven, Lord. But more than that, we ask by power of the Holy Spirit, would you enable us, if there are things that are in a perpetual cycle, to refrain and stop them, to walk the right path, to clear the way so that we may walk not only in the wilderness, but also on the paths that you would set us on to do your work. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you are, for all that you do. As we come around your table now and remember the saving work of your Son, Jesus Christ, all glory and honour be to you now and forevermore. Amen. And so we too, we break this bread, saying that this is Jesus' body for us. Eat, each and every one, with thankful hearts. And likewise, we take the cup and we will drink from this also, the new covenant, which is poured out in Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of all, once and for all. For as we partake, as we eat of this bread and drink of this wine, we do so in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again and drinks afresh with us anew. So come, take and eat, each of you, the bread and drink of the wine, symbols and elements of Jesus. The bread is gluten-free. The wine is Ribena juice. If for whatever reason you feel you're unable to take of it, just allow the elements to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. Eat the bread as we receive it, and we'll retain the cup and drink it together as a sign of our unity. Thank you. So in Jesus' name, his death we remember, but his reconciliation and his resurrection to life we remember forevermore. Until he comes again. Amen. Glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be found at your table. We thank you that we can be found in you in our daily lives, all by grace, all by the saving grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. For the ultimate sacrifice that has been paid, that we can stand forgiven, that we can stand reconciled to you, knowing, Lord, that you are working in our lives, calling us to the works that you have for us. So, Lord, whatever that is and wherever that is, would you lead us from here, walking on the straight path, walking in faith, walking with humble hearts, with you not only at our side, but within us as well. We give all the thanks and all the glory to you now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, as we continue in this time, we just think of the many things that are going on, not only within our lives, within our community, country, and of course the whole world. Again, we may struggle to make sense. We may feel powerless. We may feel fearful, anxious. But Lord, by your grace and by your word, by the blood of Jesus Christ, would you wash away all those fears and all those anxieties? Lord, as Suzanne said this morning, in the time of waiting, may we be patient, knowing, Lord, that you are at work. Sometimes, Lord, waiting 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour more seems a lifetime. But we recall that time period where you didn't speak to your people for 400 years. So, Lord, though we may ask for patience, though we may ask for strength or encouragement, all those things, it's not necessarily that you give us that, but the opportunities are provided that we will be strengthened, that we will be encouraged, and that we will be patient. So Lord, in this time of waiting, may there be no fear. May we be reminded of your word. May we look to the hills to see where our help comes from. The maker of heaven and of earth. And Lord, in a time where we may feel helpless, may we turn to you. Would you graciously hear our prayers for peace upon this world, for wars and mindless violence to end, for political arguments to be put aside, and that upon the name of upon each and everyone's lips there would be the name of Jesus Christ that would speak truth into truth. Lord, for those of us here that may be facing recovery from operations or ailments or ones that may be to come, Lord, in that time of waiting, may there be your strength and your healing. For those, Lord, that are unable to be with us here, may you strengthen and bless them. By your Holy Spirit, would you pour out your anointing upon each and every one and enable us to see you face to face as we walk forward in glory with you. Lord, lead us from here into the rest of the day and the week ahead. Wherever we may go, may we be the light and the love of Jesus Christ into those that we meet, bringing about renewal and transformation. In your name and for your glory. Amen. That draws our service to a close this morning. Thank you all for joining with us. Please do stay for tea and for cake afterwards and remind Reuben of his 13th birthday. What a milestone that is. Don't worry, mate. But we'll see you next week. But for now, take great care. Stay safe. God bless. Amen.